back to Swan and Judd Review. I'm Tom Swanner.
This is Brian Judd.
And, well, it was a rough 420. How about you? You good?
No. I mean, no. I went to a barbecue. It was mostly drinking. There was no one. There's no weed being passed around. Yeah, I don't know why, because everyone there smoked.
Yeah, well, I went to the comedy thing last night, right?
How was that?
Well, it was really the comics were good.
Were they?
Yeah, they were really. I mean, they were good comics to begin with. Whether or not they got high or not during intermission, but during intermission was what was the funniest thing, because they wouldn't let anybody out the front doors of the theater because they didn't want to disturb people on the street.
The bums.
No, the people that live right across the street. There's three houses, and they called the cops when we first got there. Oh, my God, there's people doing drugs. And the cops came out, and the helicopter flew around the theater. And then when we got in, they said, so during intermission, we're going to have you go out through the exit by the parking lot, and let's contain it to the parking lot, people. So 500-600 people all left the theater and went out and lit up. And it looked like there was a fire. I mean, from across the street, it probably looked like a fire. There were people with blunts that were like the size of cigars, and just these puffs of smoke flying up towards that billboard that's right over the parking lot. It was hilarious. And then when everybody comes back in, everybody's just a little bit higher than they were before. And then they finished up the show. So
Well, that's amazing that those neighbors or those people that are around that theater called the cops, because, I mean, they do midnight shows all the time. They have wrestling events there all the time. As far as people doing drugs, you got crackheads and tweakers up and down Stockton Boulevard every goddamn day of the week. And then they're going to get all pissed off about some stoners. Fuck those people.
That are going to an event that's indoors.
Right.
Yeah. Calm down. Just fucking calm down. Anyway, so well, last night or this week was the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh no.
I know. Oh my God, my hair. RuPaul's Drag Race, and it was down to the last three: Saphira, Nymphia, and Plain Jane. Plain Jane got pulled into third place, and they finished off with a lip sync of the surviving two, and Nymphia Nguyen ended up winning. She was the queen from Taiwan. So
sure, okay.
But she was really good. She was she did most of her own gowns. She's phenomenal at art, at makeup. I mean, last week she had done herself, you know, those dogs at the temples with the big fangs that come, you know, the statue. Mm-hmm. She did that on her face. And I thought it was a mask until she started talking. And I realized, oh my God, that's not a mask. It's a mask that's been painted onto her face. It was
sure, yeah,
just amazing. So I wasn't surprised. I thought Saphira the whole season though was going to win, because she's just so polished, and her outfits also were phenomenal. So it was a good season. Yeah, overall it was a good season. Very funny. Real happy with it. And then we went over to Pit Stop, which is Trixie Mattel. I'm sorry, not Trixie Mattel, and she had on Monet Exchange, and both of them have been past winners of All Stars. So they basically gave their reaction to the show, and it's always funnier than the actual show that they're.
That's they're why I don't watch it.
And so anyway, it was very funny. Let's see. Okay, where am I now? Okay. So You Think You Can Dance? We're down to the top eight. It comes on Monday or Sunday. I can't tell because I don't have cable, but it shows up Monday. Last week it showed up Monday because I thought it was on Mondays. But according to the preview, they're going to be doing a Broadway. A Broadway week where the eight learn a swings of Broadway show, and sure. then two more will be feminine.
Now, is it going to be any particular style? Is it going to be like your early Oscars and Hammerstein stuff, or is it going to be the twisting wrists of Bob Fosse?
Well, I think it's going to be more current. So that's Fosseism, because the we didn't see one show that was doing anything Fosse when I was there, last month.
Sure.
Which is weird. So it's probably going to be a high energy swing number, something that you, the big number in the show. So you have somebody up there singing, and then the people in the back are just moving like insane. So we'll see what happens.
Which I guess I would consider that. I mean, even though it's modern dance, I would consider that more of a classical style.
Probably. Yeah.
Where Fosse was very slow, hips forward. Instead of rolling the neck and wrists, tilting your hat forward,
And we're snapping your fingers is a dance move,
exactly.
Yeah. Actually, I did see a comedian last week, and every time he ended his transition between jokes was he'd give a snap his finger kind of thing. And afterwards, we're in the car, and I go, did you notice the guy was snapping his finger to transition into the next joke? And Sean goes, yeah. And it was really irritating. But it was he was older. Well, he's probably closer to my age. And I'm thinking, maybe he's been doing this, since the 60s. No, well, he couldn't have been that old, but it felt like 60s comics.
Sure.
It was kind of refreshing, except irritating. The Conners this week.
Speaking of irritating,
it was Dan's birthday, and Darlene is bothering somebody else now, which is, I guess, good. She's just, I don't know. I mean, do they realize just how much audiences hate her?
Well, I'd see it. I thought, because the plot is it's Dan's birthday. He doesn't want to celebrate, but then he realizes he can teach entitled millennials how to do small household chores, and he can continue to do that on the side and work and pay off the house. Meanwhile, Darlene doesn't like the food that's at the cafeteria, so she goes to the nutritionist to bitch, and she's like, okay, fine, you're manager. Good for you. And if you fail, you're fired. She's like, well, what about my son? She's like, well, that's too late. I thought they missed a hilarious joke that they could have put an old Darlene in that office.
Oh.
And it could have been Darlene against Darlene. Just right. Two miserable bitches going after each other. Because even as Darlene was leaving, she's like, okay, well, let me turn out the lights and you could continue hanging from the ceiling. And so I would just, like I said, I would have loved to seen an old haggard Darlene go against a younger haggard Darlene.
Yeah, that would have been funny. I did like the fact that, because they're really making a good point with the Dan thing, is that, kids today don't know how to change a tire. Of course, now with Tesla, you don't have to, they don't even have a spare tire.
Most cars don't.
Yeah, it's weird. Just growing up with I grew up with a full-size spare.
Oh, well, sure, and the trunk could fit three bodies.
Right. And then it ended up being, I got the donut. Mm-hmm. And then I still have a car with a donut, but I can't get my trunk open, so...
really?
Well, yeah. Sean borrows the car, and now we can't get the trunk open anymore. Okay.
I love how old pieces of shit start turning into characters.
Yeah.
They just, oh, well, that's what it does now.
Right.
Or doesn't do it anymore.
It doesn't defrost the windows. It got all the windows fixed. So the windows come up and down now.
Oh, that's okay.
The back window no longer has a defroster on it. It's terrible.
Sure.
And I've got a spider that's living in my driver's side rearview mirror on the side, and it's collecting pollen right now. The webbins, because it's all over the place. So, it's but you know what? It gets me to the gym and to the store, and it don't cost me no money, so that's good.
Sure. And if someone dings it or whatever, you're like, yeah. Okay.
19 years old in June, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's old enough to vote.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I'm sure that the Republicans are going to go, we'll register it. No one's going to vote. Just vote for our boy. Let's see. Abbott Elementary, Quinta's character, she's been working for the district, the school district, instead of teaching. And she was working just part-time, feeling it out. And they offered her a job. And so she was getting ready to start the job. But she realized that she'd much rather, be a teacher. And blah, blah, blah. It was like, you could have done so much good for the district because you're a go-getter. And you could have changed the lives of all these kids and their kids for years and years to come. But no, you want to teach a bunch of brats that, the 20, 7-year-olds. You'd rather do that than help out everyone. Great. Good for you. I'm all caught up with Ghost on CBS. And
behind were you? I mean, it had just come back, hadn't it?
Yeah, but there was like, I think, 7 episodes and I was only 2 in. So oh, I did a run on it just to get caught up, and it's still a good show. I mean, I'm always interested when you've got a dead cast that can't leave the building in the storyline, right? All these ghosts that can't leave the
location. Sure. Oh yeah.
So I always find it interesting to see how they make that feel less,
confining.
Yes, and they do a pretty good job at it.
Well, I mean, you got to figure shows like Cheers never left the bar or very rarely left the bar, and they certainly weren't trapped there. Although the fact that the characters could leave and come back. Never mind. That doesn't work at all. It's kind of like Gillian's Island.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh boy, those were some great storylines too. Hey, look, the coconut's talking. Okay, great. Bill Maher was back on this week. His show's, it's like a new show. It really is, because that's what they're talking about. They're talking about current events. So it's only as good as the guests he brings on and what's happening in the world that they can talk about. Because I'll tell you, there's been some weeks where you're going, wow, there is nothing going on, isn't there? But he did make a comment. He goes, it's so interesting that we keep saying all we want to do is just go a couple days without having to hear about Trump, and we can't do it. It's just impossible to do without, he's got 4 or 5 trials right now that are all either going on or lingering. And then he's running around bitching online about the jurors, and the judge is not happy about that. And the judge is making him sit in the courtroom the whole time. He can't just come in when they need him. He's got to sit there, and he's falling asleep. Hilarious. Because he's bored as shit and he can't talk.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. And there was a trend on Twitter, I think it was Friday, because I refuse to call it X, that he was breaking wind in his sleep. And there's always been the rumor that he wears diapers because the Adderall addiction, he just shits himself whenever. But now he's sleeping and farting. And he's 70 years old. Of course he is.
Oh, he's 78 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, there you go. He's 70. Of course, all 78-year-olds are sleeping and farting.
Yeah.
And should, like a baby.
Yeah. So let's see. This week on American Idol, you would love this. So Sunday night was 3 hours. Monday night was 2 hours. No. So they went from 24 to 20 on Sunday, and then Monday they went from I believe it was 20 to 14. So we're down to the top 14 now. And I mean, and they're all decent, but it's weird because it's just it loses its sense of personality when they just dump off people so fast all the time. I mean, once you get it down to the top 12, they used to, it would be one a week for 12, 10 weeks. And now it's, they go from 12 to the finale in like 3 weeks.
Oh,
So
wow.
yeah, it's just people are dropping off. So you don't get any personal favorites
You don't
because
have time to pick a someone to root for.
right. And
Yeah.
that's the problem with the show right now. And then Sean's just completely abandoned it. So I'm watching by myself, so I don't even have anybody to kind of,
Aww.
yeah, I know. It's so sad for me. On Survivor this week, they had another blind side, which is pretty much their thing. And it was funny because it was Kevin that they got rid of this week. And Kevin was not the person I thought they would have gotten rid of. They just decided it was going to be his week to go home, and they talked behind his back, and he cried, and that made me sad. He was the openly gay guy, so
Yeah,
it's always,
okay.
it always feels a little more pointed.
Sure.
On Masked Singer this week, we had, let's see, we had two people that were, that they took off their heads, and it was, neither of them were like big stars. One was from The Office, a woman from The Office, and the other was some older, I think, like jazz singer or jazz artist or an older black man. So that wasn't in rock. So he's in, like, maybe it was old R&B. I'm not sure, but I didn't recognize his name. So yeah. So there you go.
What was his costume or his mask?
I can't remember.
Oh, brother.
Well,
Okay.
I was drunk. No. Yeah, I was. Okay.
You're under the influence. Let's just leave it at that, and that we can
Oh, that's a
make
good
a,
idea.
yeah.
That's good. This week on Top Chef, the guy who won the quick fire. That's the they kind of do a little short cook, and then somebody gets like an advantage, and then whoever wins that gets an advantage and goes into the big cook at the end. And he ended up being the one they sent home. I remember the new host. She's Christine. She's looking at him and she's talking, asking him questions like, "Why was the fish that you made so dry and overcooked?" And he goes, she goes, "When did you start cooking?" And he goes, "I think I started cooking the fish when we had like 35 minutes left." And her eyes
Wow.
bulged out of her head like, what? And then one of the other judges goes, "It takes 4 minutes to cook fish, and you're only cooking fish for 10 people, and you're only cooking little bits of fish for 10 people."
Maybe
Yeah.
it was like the chuck roast cut of the fish.
No. So he
Your
went home.
singer was Charlie Wilson, and I've never heard of him.
It sounds familiar, but I don't know who that is. Okay. Anyway, he went to Last Chance Kitchen and lost, so he won't be coming back.
Well, 35 minutes for fish, I would hope so.
Oh, I mean, it was just ridiculous. And when he was, and it was funny because he goes, "Oh, I better get that fish started," and someone goes, "It's 35 minutes. We got 35 minutes." I got to make sure it's done though. Well, it was done. And they could put it on a sole of a shoe and walk on it because it was
What
done.
kind of fish was it? Do you remember?
I know it was some white, soft look. It's not
Sure.
a, it's no, nothing like a piece of a swordfish or something that's like a steak. This
Yeah.
was a thin piece of fillet, is what it was. So,
And not that anything could stand up to that much time, but anyway.
I mean, you don't even cook steak that long.
No.
Mean, I could and be happy with it, but yeah, we had some ribeyes. Remember the ribeye roast that I cut up and cleaned, and we had two of the ribeye steaks left over, and so we cooked them, and Sean overcooked them, and he's like, "Wow, this is really overcooked." And I go, "I think it's perfect. Oh my God, this is
Oh
really good."
no.
Yeah, you know how, yeah.
You want ketchup? Do you want the ketchup on it too?
No, but I did see on David Chang's Dinner with David Chang on Netflix. They had the writer of American Fiction that just won the Oscar for best screenplay, and it was a breakfast for with David. So he's cooking all these different items, and he made this egg mixture thing and served it. And the guy goes, "Hey, do you have any ketchup?" And everyone in the room just gasped. And he's like, "What? What's wrong with that?" And it's like, "Get out." And he goes,
Yeah.
No, here." And he puts the ketchup right there. And the rest of the night, every time he gave him something new to eat, he'd put the ketchup in front of him. So that was pretty funny. Let's see. We're one episode away from the end of Three Body Problems. And,
Oh, good.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, because I don't know if they're going to try to end it, or they're looking for a second season. I'm sure they're looking for a second
Sure.
season.
So
And
they
then,
can cancel it after everyone's really into it and
right,
go,
yeah, they don't need to know how this ends. And then
eh.
there's Fallout, which is on Prime.
Yeah.
And have you started it yet?
No, I tried playing the game a couple years ago and it was a little too open world for me. Because you just wander around and you're helping people. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to help anybody. So if you don't help anybody, then you're just wandering around being a loner trying to survive. And that's not fun either. Who cares?
So this feels a lot like Twisted Metal, a little,
Sure, post-apocalyptic.
yeah, but good. It was actually kind of good. I
Okay.
mean, what we've seen so far has been really good. It's nice and gory. It's funny as much as it is, dramatic. So yeah,
I don't remember the game being funny.
well, that doesn't mean that the movie
Well,
is.
no, and that's why I didn't
Right.
bother giving it a view because I'm like, well, if this is anything like the game, who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's I can tell you Matt watched it all in one night. He enjoyed it that much. He just sat there and watched eight episodes.
Aren't they an hour long?
Yes. Okay.
What a
No,
trooper.
no. Don't make judgments. Nope.
Said he's a trooper.
Yeah.
Took it for the team. Good for
Yes.
him.
Good for him. Good for him.
The trophy.
Let's see. Yeah, the we also had a softball pool party yesterday.
Fun.
Oh my God, those people got into the pool.
Yeah, I was wondering if because it's the water is unless well, is the pool heated?
No.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for those you two that are listening, the pool, I mean, it's Sacramento. We have just gotten into the 70s, and like yesterday, I think it was 80 degrees.
Yeah.
Okay. But at night, it's still dipping down into the 50s and and the 40s.
Yeah.
If you if your temperature at night goes under 60 degrees, the water in the pool gets colder. It's just how it works. So, yeah.
Well, not
So,
only that, but it hasn't had any time to warm up and get any warmer than
well, that's what I'm saying.
what it's been, you know,
It
so.
even when we do get 70s weather, it doesn't hold. So
Yeah.
that water had to probably be in the 50s, easily in the
Oh,
50s.
yeah.
And they're out there splashing around, having
Oh,
a good time.
no.
And I'm inside going, well, first of all, April and May in Sacramento, I can't spend a lot of time outside just because my asthma gets to me. It's allergy induced asthma, and their pollen is heavy in our area right now. So when I
Yeah.
walked over to the theater last night, I forgot my inhaler. And so we got there, we're waiting to get in, and I'm sure. And then Sean keeps going, "Here, smoke on the vape pen." And I'm like, "I can't breathe, you idiot. Will you stop pointing at my face?" Yeah. So that was fun. Anything new with you?
Well, I was just gonna say and brag a little bit, you know, because I used to have a big gala at the end of May, my Memorial Day party, and my pool is heated, you understand. And even I at in May, at the end of May, would run the heater to knock the chill off the water for my guests.
Yes.
So I can't even imagine having a pool party this early in the season.
I mean, my dog, God rest her soul, is the only one that could get in the pool before June. You know,
sure.
And she'd jump in April. This would be fine for her.
She was well insulated.
Yeah, because she was hairy.
That's it.
That's it.
So yes, this week on Palm Royale, things are continuing to unravel. Lies are being exposed, and Kristen Wiig, her character, is getting entrapped and caught up in all her stuff. So it's just as fun and getting. What now? You're continuing to watch it? What episode are you on?
Yeah, we are. We've only seen episode one.
Oh, then you haven't continued watching it.
No, but we are going to continue.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So that, you know, and the cost, it's fun. Speaking of that whole period, over the past 2 weeks, I finished a Peggy Lee biography, which was, the first half wasn't all that interesting because she recorded for Capitol. She helped, she was one of the first artists that recorded with Capitol. She made a ton of money for the label, so they let her do whatever. And she cut like 3 or 4 albums a year, which I think is amazing. And she wrote, you know, a lot of her own works, as you know, because she did that with Disney, which we'll get into in a second. But it wasn't until, so the first half of the book is all that. It detailed her relationship. She couldn't keep a man. She lost her first husband. He was an alcoholic. She dated, I think she married Robert Preston before he did The Music Man. And then they divorced. She had an affair with Quincy Jones when he was just starting out.
Before Peggy Lipton.
What's that?
Well, because Quincy Jones ended up marrying Peggy Lipton. So there was
he may have been married to Peggy Lipton at the time.
Oh no. What is wrong with men? Peggy Lee?
But he was married when she had an affair with him. Okay. So it may have been Peggy Lipton. But then it's towards the end of the book where she's falling out of favor. You know, her style of singing, it's the 60s and 70s. You know, she's older, her music is falling out of favor. So just some of her idiosyncrasies started coming out. She started putting on all that weight, lovely hair there, Roz.
I look like Doc Brown today. Okay.
Little bit.
Yeah.
And she like some of the stuff she would say, she was talking about how abusive her stepmother was, and she would make up these lies. And her assistant would say, you know, my parents were survivors of the Holocaust. You know, there's people that have had it worse than you. Peggy snapped back. They haven't experienced half of what I went through. She was fueled by anger. So she would build herself into a rage before going out on stage, which, I mean, if you listen to Peggy Lee, she sounds comatose. So the fact that she would sometimes put a glass on the end of her makeup table and ask someone to, oh, hand me a tissue, darling. And they'd knock the glass and break the glass so she could go into a fit to get herself fueled up. Bruce Valanche, one of her assistants later in the late 70s, was friends with Bruce Valanche. And he asked Peggy, if Bruce could come over, he'd really like to meet you. And she's like, sure. But when Bruce came over, she never came out of her bedroom. So they're hanging out. They're having a good time. I'm sure they had been smoking pot, but that's my own spin on the story. And they realized that Peggy Lee is on the side eavesdropping just outside the door, and they're like, Peggy, come on in, join us. She doesn't come in. A few minutes later, he said this hand with a gigantic diamond just slipped through the crack of the door, and she started doing the snaps to Fever. And then the hand slowly withdrew. It was all that Bruce Valanche saw of Peggy Lee that day.
Hilarious.
And then of course, you know, your trial with Disney, which I sent you, you know, a screenshot from the book that said the juror, which shows how you have persevered and prevailed, much like Peggy Lee, because all the jurors were middle to low income and were there to sympathize with the fact that this poor old woman was being screwed by this giant corporation, and she deserved that money. So there you were.
Yeah. Well, it was a, see, I was actually in, I was on the assigning the money portion of the trial.
Yeah, because the judge had already found them guilty. So right. Yeah, it was
it's just a matter of how much money does Disney owe Peggy? Yeah. And of course, with that trial, that changed everything. It not only took it from the music aspect of it, which was where what her trial was about, because she wrote everything on the music for Lady and the Tramp. And she was getting paid for any time they, you know, she got paid originally and any recordings of it that went out, but not for the VHS, DVD, Blu-ray. And so she was the person that then all of a sudden the actors are going, that's true. I mean, if they're getting paid for, you know, I did, you know, the Golden Girls for, you know, 6-7 years, and I'm only getting...
Well, Sleeping Beauty, all the old actors that weren't getting any money and started going broke at the time went back and looked at their Disney contracts. And Peggy's, I won't get into the details, but she had a specific term in her contract called transcriptions, which were, they didn't know home video was coming. Right. So it was more of a radio thing for her because she was writing her own stuff. But yeah, it spurred all kinds of voiceover vocal artists.
Sure, singers, but also you've got to remember that if you like, Bea Arthur was paid for royalties for whenever Golden Girls played.
Yeah, it added that whole
the DVD, the VHS, all the anything, any
home video.
This thing is transferred into some new format. We got to get paid for it.
Yeah, and the wording, I think, if you look at some of the stuff, it's like all formats, present and in the future, so that they can't come up with something later and go, oh, that wasn't included.
Yeah, what, holograms? That's not in your contract.
Yeah, streaming even. Yeah.
You know, I mean...
it's not a physical format. We didn't print anything. We didn't press anything.
I'm surprised that... yeah, exactly, streaming. I'm surprised that... I don't know what I was going to say. Okay. You threw streaming at me and I went, I forgot about the streaming, but yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's just the way the studios have just tried to slip through the cracks on these.
Oh, things. Sure.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah. So after the Peggy Lee biography, of course, Peggy Lee's big Grammy winning song from 1969 or 71, I can't remember, Is That All There Ears Is, which is based on a short story by a German author named Thomas Mann called Disillusionment, which is basically the song was lifted, which Peggy did not write. It was written by another couple, Lieber and Stroller. And Thomas Mann wrote a book called Death in Venice, which I have a lot of ties through with some of the other music and movies that I've seen. Rufus Wainwright, Grey Gardens, they all kind of reference this Death in Venice. So I read the book, which it was, I don't know, 10 pages. And I watched a movie from 1971. And oh, my God. It is so fucking slow. So it is about this author. Well, in the book, it's an author. In the movie, it's a composer. He goes to Venice, the Lido of Venice, where I've personally been. I've holidayed in Venice. And he sees this boy who's about anywhere between 14 and 16. It's very much a Call Me By Your Name thing. Okay. But unlike them establishing a relationship, he basically just stalks this boy on the island until he dies at the end. The old man, not the boy. He gets cholera. There's a plague going through Venice, and a lot of people are dying. And he ends up catching it. The reviews on the movie were like, "Oh, it's gorgeous. It's an art film." Yeah, it's an art film, and it's slow as fuck. And gorgeous. I mean, Call Me by Your Name, which neither one of us cared for that much, at least made Italy look gorgeous.
Yeah.
Sunny, and it was beautiful, and then they rode their bikes a lot through very gorgeous scenery. They made Venice look like Britain. It was gray and overcast. It was just an ugly, ugly movie, and I don't understand how any of these reviewers at the time thought it was lush and gorgeous, because it was gross. So that I rented on Apple. If you're interested, I would say read the book. Don't waste your time on the movie, because God, what a snoozer. And then I saw yesterday the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Welfare, warfare. And that's the first time I've been to a big, you know, big blockbuster movie in a theater that I paid for a ticket. And God, those trailers are just awful. The movie itself, directed by Guy Ritchie. It's a Guy Ritchie movie. So it's fast paced. I think his pacing has slowed down over his earlier work, like Snatch and whatnot, Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. I think that's him. And I wish it were a little bit funnier, because some of the dialogue wasn't as snappy as some of his, other earlier works. I think, you know, it had a very much Man from U.N.C.L.E. feel to it.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it. And I will say that Alan Richson, which he was in Bloodsport, he's in Reacher on Amazon Prime, is fucking huge. I don't know what kind of steroids he's on, but he's enormous. Or if they, I don't know, but enormous.
Okay.
In a fantastic kind of way.
And who'd you see this with?
Myself.
You went by yourself to the movies?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, fuck off.
I don't have a problem with seeing a movie by myself, because I don't want to talk to anybody anyway. So,
right.
And I don't want them talking to me during the movie. Nothing I hate more than, what happened? I'm confused. Well, then watch the movie.
Shut the fuck up and pay attention.
And I'll tell you, I do like the big new seats, the lounge seats that they have, only because it gets me further away from people. You know, like, and they can't kick the back of your chair anymore, you know, which I really appreciate. Because
I saw a matinee on Saturday. You know, the movie had opened Friday night. There were maybe 20 people in the theater. It was empty.
Yeah, it's too bad, but it's kind of the way. I mean, it's just.
I mean, I didn't. Between the sound and the picture, there was nothing more to that theater experience than what I could have gotten if I waited for it at home.
Right.
Wanted to see it.
Right. We've got two big, you know, we got big TVs with great sound, and stuff comes around so quickly now that it's almost.
Yeah. I will probably see Borderlands in the theater, because I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of that franchise. I'll see Bike Riders in the theater, because I've been waiting for that one forever. And then I will probably see Beetlejuice in the theaters, just because I want to see that one right away.
Okay.
And I'll probably go alone. Is that all there is?
Yeah. Well, at least it's not a drive-in. That would be worse.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're almost out of time. So I guess then we'll just talk to you next time. Bye.